KXRN LP.
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member supported.
KXFM
on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying listening audiences that any opinions expressed on our shows are not representative of Laguna Radio, Inc., its management, or its board of directors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. My name is Cassidy Morgan, and I'm a member of the Laguna Beach branch of Walking for Water. Walking for Water is a club that partners with Wisdom Spring to build wells and educate the people in developing countries. So far, we have worked in Burkina Faso, Ghana, Kenya, and multiple locations in India. This club was started in 2003 in Leesburg, Virginia, after Susan Huff brought Sabam Fusome to speak at Heritage High School, and after she spoke, teenagers came up to her asking, "They walk for water, why can't we?" Every year, Walking for Water holds a big event to raise money. Due to the recent health crisis, we have had to adjust our fundraiser to an online platform. This year, our walk falls on June 19th and 20th, which will feature a virtual walkathon, auction items, videos on the effects of Walking for Water, and more. For more information, go to wisdomspring.org. So on today's show, we have our fearless leader, Susan Huff.
Hi, thanks for doing this, Cast. I couldn't be more proud of you kids taking a step and becoming the activist that I already know that you are.
Aw, thank you, Susan. And then from our West Coast, we have Sophie.
Hi, happy to be here.
And then from our East Coast, we have TJ.
Hey, everybody. Hope you guys are having a great day.
So to start off, and of course we have myself. I wanted to ask all of you, what was the biggest impact that COVID had on you personally, from a physical standpoint, mental health standpoint, and just in life in general? How has this over a year health pandemic affected you guys?
Well, for me, I have to say I had to redo my whole life in some ways. Like, I had to see clients online. I had to figure out how to do Walking for Water online. I had to figure out what it felt like to be alone all the time. So that was a big challenge for me. And then how to do a relationship. I mean, it was multiple crazy and multiple feelings, like isolation and yet gratitude. I had gratitude that I, you know, can take a shower, have water, and do all that. So there was a lot of feelings for me that I mean, I'd have to go and I could talk about it for hours, actually. What about you, Sophie? How was it?
No, I can totally relate with the whole feelings everywhere. I definitely think that I was the saddest I've ever been, probably when we were in quarantine. I quarantined since the beginning. I believe March 21st is the day that I began quarantining. And then I didn't go out of my house at all for any reason until around August. So I was inside of my house the entire time, and my parents would encourage me to take walks and do certain things, but I was just so unmotivated. And I kept telling them that it was because I wanted to keep them safe, but I think deep down it was more of because I didn't have the same morale and I didn't have the same liking in myself that I did before quarantine, just because I hadn't seen anybody and there were several people who had continued living their life and I had just been in isolation, and it really destroyed most of my confidence for a long time, but it also gave me time to work on myself, and I came out grateful. Like Susan said, there was a lot of gratefulness that came out of it because I had time to focus on things like Walking for Water, and I had time to build projects based on what I liked, and there was a lot of focus on myself instead of others, which I'm forever grateful for. And I definitely think that Walking for Water was something that helped me crawl out of my hole, just because there was a lot of support from everybody, and there was a lot of open conversations about everything, which really helped. So TJ, I know you're on the East Coast. How was it? Like, what was it different? Like, what were the challenges that you dealt with?
So it's kind of funny that you mentioned, like, during quarantine, you went through like a harder time. For me personally, like right before quarantine, I was really struggling mentally. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. Like, I wasn't sure who I was. And I was really like going through, like, as a teenager, like this identity crisis of like, who am I? Like, why am I here? What is my purpose with the rest of my life? Like, what am I supposed to do? And I was so confused and so lost for like 2 months before quarantine. COVID obviously struck, and it just gave me a lot of time to really reflect on myself, my actions, who I've become. It gave me a lot of time just to explore who I want to be and who I am now and the steps I need to take to be who I want to be. And as terrible as COVID has been with, I mean, the millions of deaths around the world, but if you're not using this time to reflect on yourself and using it to try to better yourself and better those around you, I don't think you're quarantining right. I don't know how else to say it. Like, on the East Coast, it was pretty bad. I mean, I luckily live in Virginia and it wasn't too bad there, but up in New York, down in Florida, it was terrible. I have family all in New York and New Jersey, and we were every day we were checking with them, like, are you guys staying safe? Like, it was a lot of praying and a lot of like just hoping that everyone's going to be okay. And what about you, Cassie? How is, like, with the COVID striking in Laguna and with you trying to, I know how busy you are, how did you handle it all? And like, what was the hardest part for you?
I know for me, actually, the very beginning of quarantine, kind of the spring of 2020, was actually, it was weird. It was strangely blissful because, like you said, TJ, I'm a very busy person. And so to then, like, all of a sudden really have nothing to do, it was a strange feeling of kind of like, whoa, I have time to, like, take care of myself and, like, see my family more often. Like, I ate dinner with my family, like, every night for months, which was something that had not happened, like, at all the year prior. So it was, and also similar to you guys, I was really counting my blessings of all that I was thankful for and all I was grateful for, especially with Walking for Water, because the people that were trying to help don't have access to clean water. So I was like, wow, I have all these wonderful things in quarantine. And it really caused me to relook at my life and count my blessings and just be grateful for everything. I know personally, quarantine really hit me hard this fall with stuff starting to pick up, but everything being online. I suffered extremely from Zoom fatigue, which I didn't think was a real thing. My mom was always telling me, like, no, this is a real thing. Like, you're not the only one going through this. But I was really struggling. So I'm like, I don't understand why I'm not motivated like I was when I was doing this beforehand. It's like I'm doing everything I was before COVID hit. Why is it different now? And it was because everything was online and it was this sense of disconnect. So I know for me, the beginning of quarantine was a little different than quarantine is now, but it's definitely strange, but it's definitely caused me to look at my life and look at all the things I'm grateful for and not take anything for granted, because you never know when it could change.
I think if you quarantine for over a year and we're in COVID for over a year, I don't expect it to be at the same in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. And it has really changed. Every month has been different, and every month has been a battle for some people and a blessing for others, you know?
I think I got COVID before it was even out that there was COVID. I had come back from India. I just put two wells over in India for Wisdom Spring and Walking for Water. And I came back and I was so freaking tired. I will never forget it. And I was calling my daughter and it was January. And I was saying, I don't want to get out of bed, which is so not me. And I can't get enough salt on my food. Like I couldn't, you know, like, and, but that was before even COVID was even told that it was there. So I think I actually had it in the earlier stages. And then I have had antibodies later. And I was thinking, this is so weird because I've been so isolated, you know? So I thought I had COVID for like a day thinking, oh my gosh, how did I get COVID? I wore a mask. I haven't been anywhere. I've been by myself in my house and I have antibodies. And then the next day it came back that I didn't have COVID. I just had the antibodies. So that was bizarre. And so I think, you know, it's just been one of these things that I think we live day to day. But I wonder, have you struggled with the decision to wear a mask all the time as teens? Because for me, I get irritated.
No, for sure.
Not wearing it. So TJ, have you struggled around the mask issue? And are your friends doing it differently? And what's that like as a teen wearing a mask all the time? And do you take it down out of peer pressure instead of pouring out? Am I drinking alcohol? You're like, am I taking my mask off? You know, so what was that like for you, TJ?
First off, I want to point out I'm 17. I don't drink alcohol. You know, I'm a good kid. I'm a good Samaritan. But no, so personally, I'm big into fashion, so I love wearing my mask. I have like certain outfits that I'll wear certain masks with. Like I have like certain styles that'll be like, all right, this black mask will go with this because it matches this. That like I'm just big into that. So I love wearing my mask. And I like it also I was working for the beginning for like a good chunk of COVID. I had a job and someone pointed out to me, and I never thought of it until they said it, but when people wear masks, you assume that everything you can't see under the mask is like perfect. And so it makes everyone look like 12 times more beautiful than they are. Like, and I never thought of that until he said it to me and it blew my mind. So I personally love wearing my mask and I always encourage everyone else to wear their masks. I mean, it's not only protecting you, but everyone you love and other people. So I really think it's important to wear your mask. I always do. I don't get peer pressure to take it off because I like my mask. But what about like you, Sophie? Like, what's it like over there?
Everybody here was not as good with the mask. Mm-hmm. Not proud to. Lacuna was not representing well. It was difficult regarding my mask. I always wore it. I think when it began to get hard was probably with sports, just because I had to adjust to breathing extremely heavily and it made it a little bit more difficult to run. The cardio aspect of it was definitely not easy, but I knew that I had to do it anyway. I think definitely the more peer pressure side was probably not going out in general. I was a bit extreme. Looking back, I probably could have been safe and seen one friend every now and then. But just because I wanted to be 100% sure. I don't think I saw anyone for the first 7-8 months. And I think that definitely did something to me. I'm a very social person, and I began to have like this sort of social anxiety that I had never encountered before. And it made me feel horrible because I loved talking to people so much, and I loved meeting new people and talking about what they were interested in. And now every time I thought of doing that in a public venue, it just gave me a bunch of anxiety, and I didn't know really like how to deal with that. So in that sense, it was more difficult for me to see other people, not only because of the anxiety, but because I knew that some of them weren't taking care of themselves. And it made me really angry to have to see, like, you know, because I knew I cared about them. And it made me angry that not only were they weren't taking care of themselves, but also I knew that they had grandparents and parents and, you know, people they saw that had other people who struggle with asthma, you know, different complications that their family members have had before that could make it more difficult to overcome COVID if they were to get it. And so I think that was definitely the most difficult part for me, was figuring out who to see and when to see them, and just overcoming that social anxiety that I had for so long. But yeah, that was definitely the biggest part of like the whole peer pressure, mask wearing, everything.
Can I ask you a quick question, Sophie?
Yeah.
Okay. So for, you were talking about cardio and sports, and I run cross country, track, and I play soccer. Mm-hmm. So I was unfortunately injured for cross country season, but for track, I was a sprinter and I had to wear a mask when I sprinted. But what we would do is after we ran, we would all like go our separate ways and like all get really distant from each other and pull our mask down. I don't know what sports you play, but like, do you have anything similar to that? Like, were you able to do anything like that?
I was doing a lot of, so I play basketball, and I was also doing a lot of weight training just separately, just because in the beginning we weren't really getting basketball going. But once we did, we were doing a lot of more track and field training, I would say. It was just a lot of sprints, a lot of runs around the track, a lot of cardio workouts, a lot of different ab workouts. And sadly, our school decided to crunch everything, like every single sport, into these past, I want to say, 12 weeks. So when we did begin to do all the training, there wasn't really anywhere to go, just because people were on the field for football, and right off when they got off, there was soccer. Or when we went up to do weights, another person was coming down. So there was a lot of, I definitely think that the way that they crunched it was a little bit much for everybody. So there wasn't a lot of space to breathe, literally. But I do think that sports, you know, definitely help me crawl out of my shell. So I'm thankful for that. But as of being able to, you know, spread out and, you know, take your time to breathe and everything, I don't think there was a lot of that. But Cassidy, have you had to deal with any of that? The whole mask, peer pressure, any kind of anxiety you've had to deal with?
I mean, I was going to echo what you said, how Laguna, how some people in Laguna, particularly people in our age group, have maybe not been the best at wearing masks in social scenes. I know for me, I've been really thankful to kind of surround myself with friends who did take it seriously, who did kind of understand the risks of being a young person, and maybe you're not personally affected by it. Like, you won't pass away from COVID or you won't get very bad symptoms, but there are people in your family and in this world that if they do get COVID, it will be more fatal, and trying to protect them. I know for me, my friends and I all took it very seriously. We only gathered in like larger groups of like 10 or 12 when it was cleared to do so by the government. But I know personally for me, in August, the restrictions were lifted so we could hang out with 12 people. So my friend held a birthday party and we all hung out. We didn't wear masks because we thought we were all safe because of how we were able to hang out. I didn't get COVID. I hung out with 5 people on Halloween that I had all known. I hung out with 4 other girls and I had gotten COVID from that. And it was really strange because I did not expect myself to go out and get COVID, because I was like, it's 5 people. 2 of these people I had been in my bubble since March. So I never felt like anxiety to wear a mask because I knew that it was the right thing to do. And I had friends who knew it was the right thing to do. But we did hang out in maybe small groups without masks when it was cleared to do so by the government. We didn't go have giant parties when it wasn't allowed to. But I know when I would look on like Instagram or Snapchat and I'd see people in my grade like having like parties with bunches of people and no masks, I was kind of like, this is why we're not going back to school and this is why businesses are still closed, is because people who don't think they're affected don't really seem to know that they're being safe and they're trying to keep people healthy is what's going to get us through this.
Grandparents, guys. I mean, how many of you have grandparents that you had to be concerned about? I mean, I remember Cassidy. I remember walking for water and you being really concerned.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
Yeah. So my grandma is in her 80s and requires oxygen when she moves around. And I still haven't seen her. My dad has seen her a couple times when he's gone down for business or whatever, but he stayed outside, kept his distance. She's actually vaccinated, but I'm not yet, so I can't go visit her. But I haven't seen her since March in person, and I was kind of kicking myself because I was like, I haven't spent enough time with her. I haven't gotten to know her. Like, I was really frustrated with myself because I'm like, if this never ends or if she doesn't make it through this, I feel like I have been a bad granddaughter in a sense that I haven't made enough time to hang out with her more. So I know I was struggling with that I was unable to kind of see her, and I was really frustrated that I maybe I'd taken her for granted, like I said earlier. So I know that's something that I personally struggled with at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah, and I know, Sophie, you struggled with it because I remember you talking about that also.
I definitely, it was something that just really hit me really hard. I am extremely close to my grandmother. And I grew up with her living in, you know, my house. And she lives in Colombia, which is where I was born. And it was just really difficult to hear how everything was just going. If here it was bad, there it was like 10 times worse. And it was really difficult for me to just gather myself just because the people around her weren't being completely safe. And it made me really angry. Not only that they weren't being safe, but the fact that I couldn't do anything about it just really, it pissed me off. It did. It made me really angry. And it also just made me question a lot of things just because she's a priority for me. And it's something that I couldn't do anything about. So it was definitely a hard moment in my life, and the people around her weren't being safe. And it was one of the more stressful situations that I've had to deal with, for sure. But I don't know, TJ, if you have any close family members. You said that up in New York, they were struggling a lot.
Yeah. So with COVID, there's obviously the ups and downs of having like older family. Unfortunately, all of my grandparents passed away a couple of years ago, but the only positive is that we didn't have to constantly worry about them because they were, a lot of them lived in like community homes and stuff. So like afterwards, now we look back and we're like, it might have been nice that they're not here because COVID would have been way worse than anything they dealt with. But I do have family up in New York and New Jersey, and actually a couple of them just got COVID, and it was really scary. We were like, oh, like we like checked in on them. We were FaceTiming them daily. My uncle had like a huge fever, couldn't taste, couldn't smell, like wouldn't get out of bed kind of thing. But that's the only COVID experience we've had in my family. I've been really fortunate actually with all the challenges from COVID. I mean, I'm very close to my mom, my dad, and my brother. We all get along really well. So when COVID hit, it was a little like mini vacation just with my family. I hit the jackpot with that. But yeah, I didn't have to worry too much about anyone else, which was nice, but I still kept myself very safe just in case my mom or dad acted poorly if they got COVID.
Awesome. So on that note, I'm really grateful that you had a good experience with your family. That's great, TJ. But I think it's time that we maybe take a break and play some music. So we're going to play a Bob Dylan song, because who doesn't love Bob Dylan? So here we go with The Times Are Changing by Bob Dylan on KXFM. We'll be right back.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. 'Cause the loser now will be later to win, for the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. The mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. So Susan and Sophie brought up a very interesting fact before we started this show, because as a lot of you may know, in the U.S., vaccine rollout is happening, which is amazing. It's so cool to see. But Sophie or Susan, can one of you share the fact that you guys found about the vaccine rollout in Africa and how that's affected people there?
Well, what I, Sophie and I were talking on the phone, and we, while we were speaking, I was reading this article about vaccinations, period. And then it brought up the coronavirus. And in Africa, they struggle with just getting vaccinated, like normal vaccinations, just to go to school and everything. And when we were reading, it was like, now that they, COVID's come in, they've actually reduced the vaccines because, you know, the money. And there's not the support. And with the COVID vaccines, it's made it even more difficult for young people, because the young people don't get COVID as much as the elderly, obviously, or don't have the same side effects. And not having their regular shots is more of a problem than them having the COVID shots. So it's a bigger struggle. And if you think about it, can you imagine walking 10 miles one way for water and then back and have COVID in your family? I mean, I think that's what's beautiful about Walking for Water and back, you guys, and you are activists. I mean, not just about COVID, you're activists about everything. And the fact that you have been called, I would say that you guys have been called to really make a difference. And it was different doing these meetings. It was a struggle to do these meetings at first. Sophie, you want to talk about that? Because we didn't know how to gather.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to talk about that. Yeah, because Saturdays used to be our meetings, and we always used to meet at 11 o'clock at a park here in Laguna Beach next to our local high school. And it used to be a time where everyone used to gather, share their ideas, be open, you know, be creative. And COVID kind of took that away a little bit, and we weren't able, some people got less motivated just because we weren't having in-person meetings. And a lot of people stopped showing up just because of that reason. And it was kind of difficult to get everybody pumped up about Zoom meetings because they're already doing them all the time, you know, for school or extracurricular, you know, whatever reason. So that was definitely one of the hardest parts relating Walking for Water. And just like getting everybody on the Zoom is also really difficult.
We've had an idea though.
Yeah. So we had, as soon as we got ideas rolling and as soon as everybody realized that they were able to be, you know, just as creative as they were in person, then we got the ball rolling and now we can't stop it basically. So we've gotten a bunch of amazing ideas and we're really excited about our walk this year. So in that sense, it hasn't stopped us. It was just more of an obstacle.
And it was a real obstacle for the East Coast, because normally I go back East and I go into the high schools and I speak in assemblies and I get them motivated from that perspective. And TJ, I mean, you came on and you were like a ball of fire. So how's it been for you and Walking for Water and getting to know the other young people from the West Coast?
Yes, this is actually my first year doing Walking for Water. My brother participated in did part of the leadership program back when he was in high school, but then it came to my turn. At first I wasn't sure what I wanted to do in Walking for Water. I was really like lost. I knew I wanted to help. And so I went to like one of the meetings for everyone to go to. And I asked Susan, like, what should I do? And she's like, well, tell me about yourself. And me and her started talking in the middle of a meeting full of like, I think 27 kids or something like that. And me and her were just having this conversation. And she said, come to the meeting next Saturday at 11 a.m. It's the one for leadership. I think you would fit. And once I got to the leadership program, like leadership meetings, I realized I loved the Zoom meetings for Walking for Water. I think it's almost better than Susan flying back out East and going back home to West. Like, I now get to know all these kids on the West Coast. I mean, me, Sophie, Cassidy, and some of the other kids, like, we're texting like 4 times a week or so, like, and it's not consistently just about Walking for Water. There are times I've like texted Sophie just being like, how you been? Like, how was your day? You doing good today? Like our president Keller, me and him have had some random conversations about like many, like a lot of different things. So there's just I really do enjoy the Zoom meetings so much more than it would be going back out East to West for you. Like, I think it's made us better and made Walking for Water more as a one team other than two separate locations that have Walking for Water. I think it's made us all one, and I think it's collaborating much better. What do you think, Cassidy?
I have to agree. I remember when I first joined last year and we were doing it in the fall, and I knew that there was an East Coast group, but I had never met them. And when COVID hit and we began doing meetings online, I got to meet the East Coasters and it felt like less of a divide. It was like you said, TJ, it was like one group, one team. And yeah, it feels like I've known like TJ and Sophie for like all my life. And I've known TJ for maybe 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah, something like that.
And I think...
Am I your favorite on the East Coast?
Well, I don't think I can say that on air, but, you know, maybe ask me when or not.
Right.
But I think
I'll ask you later.
That's one of, I think, the beauties of this club is we're all connected under this strong cause. And I feel like that's caused us to, you know, become friends really easily. But Susan, I have to ask you, March 13th, 2020, when COVID hit, was there a part of you like, oh no, I don't know what's happening. How am I going to help continue this club?
I mean, I had that happen to me when Sabanfu died too. Like when Sabanfu died, I had my right. It was like my left arm was cut off and I was only with my right arm, you know, and then the COVID hit and I thought, okay, let me regroup again. How am I going to do this? How am I going to motivate teens on online? How am I going to get you excited? And I think what I love about it is I think it actually has gotten us more focused on what your guys are great at, and that we've like separated groups. We have an art group. We have, you know, in some ways, I think it's made us more cohesive, and it's made us really think about what do I love? Like in the, you know, and I've always wanted to feel like a village, but I think we needed to feel like a village in COVID. We had lost our villages. We'd lost our kind of connectedness and community. And also, I think we didn't have a place to bring our feelings. And I think Walking for Water and these Zoom meetings and have given us a place to be able to say, I'm not doing well today. I'm struggling. And I know we've used that. Sophie, I know we even had somebody on to help us with our feelings during COVID. You want to say a little bit about that for you?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said before, COVID was a tough time. I definitely think that it's been a lot easier to share my feelings, and I've been a lot more comfortable sharing my feelings. We did do a radio show, and that helped me a lot. We were all able to express everything, and I feel like it was very open and nobody was, you know, pretending, and there was no masks, like not like that, but like no mask as in you're being yourself and showing your true face. That was kind of ironic. I think that was definitely the biggest part, is just sharing your emotions, which can be really difficult because you don't want people to unvalidate them and or make fun of you, and I think that's a big thing of being yourself and being original, is sharing what you think. And I think a good example of that is probably opinions about how we were talking about the vaccine. I've had a lot of different opinions thrown at me in one way or another, and personally I am for the vaccine. I think that, you know, if you can get it, I think it's helpful. But I have had other friends, other acquaintances who have mentioned that they're not going to get it just because, you know, side effects and things like that. And I'm curious, my favorite East Coaster, TJ.
Well, thank you for admitting it.
What's your opinion on the vaccine?
Personally, I'm very pro-vaccine. I actually got my first shot for Pfizer, I think about a week and a half ago now. I'm getting my next one in less than 2 weeks now. My whole family is actually vaccinated already. My mom, dad, and my brother's about to get his second shot when he comes back from California. My brother's in California right now. He's getting his PhD out there, but he's just looking right now at apartments. Sorry. I realize that's not information that everyone on the radio knows. You guys aren't in tune with my personal life. I'm sorry. I didn't even think of that. But yeah, so my whole family is going to be fully vaccinated. So it makes me feel a lot more comfortable personally. I even told like my mom and my dad, I was like, if you two don't get fully vaccinated, like, and even if I get fully vaccinated before you guys, I'm not going out. I'm not seeing people. Like, I will still stick to complete COVID isolation until you guys are fully taken care of, because I'm concerned what COVID would do to you guys. And so now the two of them are fully vaccinated. Once I get fully vaccinated, wait the 2 weeks, I will be free to go out in small groups. I'm not going to go to parties or anything. I'm not going to do anything. I've never been a partier, but I'm not going to do anything like that. But I know some kids are like, oh, once I get fully vaccinated, like there's going to be a huge party at my house. Everyone's invited. I'm like, that's the opposite of what you do after you get your vaccine. But it is what it is. Cassidy, I'm curious, do you know when you're getting your vaccine? Do you know anything about it? Like, what's your stance?
So I'm eligible for my vaccine, I think, in a couple weeks. My personal belief on just kind of medical stuff in general is I'm not a medical professional. I won't be. I'm not going to go to school and be a doctor. But there's people who are doctors, people who are medical professionals and who have dedicated their life to this. And you're always told, trust the experts. So that's just kind of been my outlook, is I'm trusting the experts. My parents are vaccinated. My brother got his first shot. So it's definitely heartwarming to see all the people who are getting their vaccine and then are taking time to spread the message of please stay safe. Just because you have your vaccine does not mean that you can go free reign and do whatever. Please still be safe. And I think that it's nice to see that we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel of this COVID outbreak, and hopefully we'll, you know, get to return to normalcy. I think we should play our East Coast song. So our next song is showing a little love to our East Coast. This is a song actually by, I believe, a member of our East Coast group, and it's called Poolside by Maybe Blue. So here it is on KXFM. We'll be right back.
Yo, is this thing still on?
Sorry I'm not punctual, but I'm the only one at the function. And now that I mention, you're only getting up past 11. Every day feel like a Thursday. Looking forward to the weekend, we won't make it at this rate. And I've never stayed up this late. There's no point in closing eyes, when I wake up there's no prize. Open up the fridge, we'll leave with nothing. Buzzing all my hair just to feel something. I'm just wasting time all day. Oh, what a mistake. Poolside combo by myself. Keep on talking for my health, for my health, for my health. Tell me what I want from me. Tell me what I want from me. Poolside combo by myself. Keep on talking for my health, for my health, for my health. Tell me what I want from me. Tell me what I want from me. Every so often, I get up, make my bed just in case somebody walks in. But they don't, no one at the phone. And even if they were, they made me hear the tone. So I give up on a lost cause. Put a mask on like an outlaw. Just to breathe in the pollen. Cause it's springtime outside and I hear the birds calling. Wasting all my time online. Posting hella comments just to get a reply. Maybe I should go outside, put the top down and go for a ride. I said wasting all my time online, posting hella comments just to get a reply. Maybe I should go outside, put the top down and go for a ride. Making all my plans just to do nothing. Call up all my friends, they do the same things. Maybe I should take some time off, taking off time. Taking off time, oh what a surprise. Poolside combo by myself. Keep on talking for my health, for my health, for my health. Tell me what I want from me. Tell me what I want from me. Poolside combo by myself. Keep on talking for my health, for my health, for my health. Tell me what I want from me. Tell me what I want from me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. So we're going to talk a little more about Walking for Water now. So, TJ, I'd love to ask you, to everyone who's listening, what would you tell them? Why is it so important to give during this time? Why is it so important to give particularly to this cause, to Walking for Water, to helping those people get water and changing their life? What would you say to them?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And luckily, I've had plenty of conversations with my mom about this because, as I said, I'm very close with my family, and me and her have talked. I've talked about how much I've loved doing Walking for Water, and so we've actually talked about this. So luckily, I came a little prepared. I think it's important to give during COVID because, as I said earlier, I self-reflected during COVID. I realized truly how privileged I am. And I don't just mean my privilege to water, because I know that's a blessing that I've taken for granted my whole life. But I'm privileged to be an American and to be even a white straight man. I realize truly that that is privilege. People take that for granted all the time. And I think if you're not giving back to the world you live in, then you're just wasting the privilege you're blessed with, especially someone like me. I understand I come from a loving family. I have all these other things in my life that go my way, and I truly understand I'm privileged. And when I heard about Walking for Water and we started talking about it and like in my in NHS and stuff, I really felt compelled to like to come to a couple meetings. And then I think honestly, at first I just fell in love with like the culture of Walking for Water and my first meeting. And Susan ran the meeting like beautifully. Like it just made me want to keep coming back and more, and the more meetings I've gone to and the more I've learned, the more I realized how much water can do for someone, like how important it is, how much I use it, and like how I've taken it for granted for 17 years of my life. And since I've joined Walking for Water, I haven't taken it granted for a second. Every time I sip water, I have a drink of water, I go take a shower, anything, I always think, wow, I can't imagine what my life would be if I had to go walk 3 to 6 miles just so I can do this basic thing that I do every day. I mean, I think giving back in this time is one of the most important things. But Susan, what like compelled you to first start Walking for Water to make you realize that not even you, because you started this way before COVID. I mean, what was original idea?
It's been going on for 17, 18, 19 almost years now.
More than my whole life.
You know, I read a book. That was it. I read a book, and there was a village in Burkina Faso where the women would gather, and the mothers would, when a woman was pregnant, would go into a trance, and the baby would speak through the mom what its gift was, what it needed to be nurtured, and that child was nurtured. And then I met Sibomfu, and she said they walk 10 miles for water. I mean, here's this amazing culture that could die because of lack of water. And so when I brought her to my daughter's high school, and a young woman at your high school, TJ, came up to me afterwards and said, they walk for water, why can't we? And I was like, no brainer. I mean, it was a young person who came up with the idea. And honestly, if it were not young people, I wouldn't love this project as much, because I get to see each one of you grow in the project. I get to see each one of you make a difference, and only you, the way you can. And each of you has a gift to give to the world. And if I can support you bringing that gift out, I'm the luckiest woman in the world, and bring water to indigenous villages all over the world. I mean, there's nothing better than that. And what Wisdom Spring and walking in this Walking for Water project, I mean, changes each well, changes the lives of 1,000 people. And the well, what we're trying to do with the Kenya project is, what was it, Sophie? You were on that meeting with me, $28,000, and we'll save the lives of 7,000 people if we raise that much money. And I think, I mean, you guys are kicking butt. You're doing a great job. So it's going to happen. So I mean, what touches you and what brings you guys to the project? What makes it special for you, Cassidy?
I know for me, from an early age, I always enjoyed helping people and wanted to help people. I joined MUN my sixth grade year, and that kind of opened my eyes to a more global scope and really taught me how privileged I am to live in the U.S. And then my freshman year, I heard about Walking for Water, but I missed Club Rush and I couldn't figure out how to join. But then I made a point of joining my sophomore year, and I just fell in love with all that the club does and all that it stood for. And what I think is so special about our club is you really get to see the fruits of your labor. Susan comes back and she shows us pictures and videos of the well going in, and you see the people's faces when they see water coming out of the ground, and their faces just light up. And it's so incredible to see, because what the work that we have done has changed their life and will change their life forever. And so I know for me, that's what personally drew me, is just as soon as I learned about the club and what we did, and actually seeing the results and seeing the people's faces to the reaction of having water, it's an unexplainable feeling. And I think that that's what really drew me, is this club is making a difference, and I want to make a difference, and I want to help make the world a better place. And I feel like by doing this club, I am doing it.
You are doing it, Cassidy. And, you know, I actually have to say, Sophie, I know you have a story that you always like to tell, and it's a story that I can hear over and over and over again.
Yeah, well, I have plenty, but like, this is one of the ones that, since we're talking about what touches you and what drew you into this club, there's a story that Sibomfu Somme I was actually lucky enough to meet her. She's the one that wrote the book that inspired Susan to call her over, that inspired the girl at Heritage to ask the question, they walk for water, why can't we? And so Bonfils Away was incredible. And one of the stories that I got to hear in person was that one day when she was around 6 years old, because shockingly, they start their little kids instead of them being taught colors and things like that. They began to, walk for water. And I think that is just shocking. And so anyway, she was walking and she was coming back and she had already walked, I believe it was somewhere around 8 miles. And she had already walked 8 miles and she was walking back. And the land there is very flat. So even if you are, whether you're, you know, a quarter of a mile or a mile away, you can clearly see everything that is going to be ahead of you. And she saw her village and she quickly got extremely excited. You know, why wouldn't you be excited if you saw what you had been working so hard for? You were almost there to the finish line. And so she started to run. And she was running and she had this little bucket on her head. And she was running, she was running, she was running. And she tripped on a pebble and she fell. And all of the water that she had just walked for fell right in front of her, all over the floor. And, you know, when that happens, children mostly say that they have to say, you know, that they're disappointed. That's the word they use mostly. Or that they're sad. Or that, you know, they're disappointed because they may have disappointed their family or something. And I think what stuck with me the most was probably when she said that she felt like she had killed her village. Not only her family, not disappointed, but killed her village. She felt like she had the responsibility and that that water was so important. That not only had she just dropped the water and, you know, it was done, whatever, let's go get some more, but the village was now going to die because she had just dropped the water that she just walked for. And I think that stuck with me. And I don't know any other story that's stuck with me for so long and that I can remember so clearly. And that was definitely one of the most impactful things that have ever happened to me. And that's why I keep doing this club, because it's incredible and it gives you opportunities to really just reflect on how fortunate and privileged we are here.
Thank you, Sophie.
Yeah, I remember when you first told me that story, Sophie, I was like you, that stuck with me. And still, that's one of my favorite stories that you've ever told me. I also remember when Sabonfu got to the U.S. and she saw a water faucet for the first time, and she kept turning it on and off and saying that it was magic. And she would wake up in the middle of the night to turn the faucet on and off because it was magic. And she wrote home to her village being like, I've discovered magic, and it's a water faucet that brings you water whenever you need it. And they all thought she was crazy.
She was lying.
That there was this magical faucet of water that was 10 steps in front of you instead of 10 miles away. And so I think that also struck me, was when she did see water and wrote home to her village was like, that's impossible, that can't exist.
And so I thought she was cray cray.
They did. So I feel like that's why our work is so important, because we're bringing that magic to them.
I think it's a little ironic that they didn't like people in the countries we help didn't realize that how much access we have to water. And I think a lot of times people here in America don't realize how little access other countries have and how much of a privilege it is to have water on demand all the time.
So if you really want to help us, you go to wisdomspring.org to bring water and wells and education to those that are less fortunate than we are. And these kids are making a difference. I just want to say, Cassidy, great job. Sophie, great job. TJ, great job. I couldn't be more proud of you all and for the entire group. And Cassidy, my leader of the radio, great job.
Thank you so much, Susan. And thank you for giving me the okay to try and pursue this, because Susan and I talked about this in the spring of 2020. Is kind of like this would be a cool idea, and now we're here. So,
and let's thank KX too.
Yes, thank you KXFM for letting us do this. So everybody listening, that wraps up our first radio show. Don't worry, we will be back in 2 weeks to do another one of these. And we want to close out with a song that's personal and special to all of us. This is actually Susan's ringtone. So whenever her phone goes off in a meeting, we hear the song, and it's Imagine by John Lennon. And while listening to this song, we just want you guys to imagine a better world. So thank you so much for listening to Walking for Water Teen Action. This has been Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. Enjoy.
But I'm not.